So realizing someone who has realized or has gained a firm conviction or resolution that there is nothing intrinsic or truly existent thing. Everything is mere nomination, mere designation, because of being dependent origination. So that person, through understanding emptiness first, and then trying to place your mind on that object, which is the emptiness in this case. So that kind of meditation is called the meditation searching, in search of the meditation through the wisdom. Because this person has obtained the wisdom of emptiness first, and then proceeded to achieve meditation of samadhi or single pointedness. So technically, it is called as searching for meditation through wisdom. See, and yet there is another kind of meditation where you place your mind on your mind, which means selecting your mind as the object of meditation. So although we speak about mind constantly, but in actuality, it is not as easy as we say. So how to do that? First, we try to stop ourselves from the kind of the mental distractions that you derive through the sensorial consciousnesses. So you forget about all the sensory consciousnesses as I consciousness and so forth. And then you also try to stop all those past memories. Don't try to think about, go after those past memories. And then third, you try to stop all kind of anticipation for the future. Don't try to plan anything for the future and so forth. So, since that normally, in normal sense, our mind is very much obsessed with these kind of the perceptions, appearances, experiences, and so forth. When you get rid of all these kind of experiences or appearances, perceptions, then the kind of experience will be something very different from the way we experience our mind normally. So because of that kind of practice, then you try to maintain that experience or that kind of meditation, try to get rid of all, try to forget about the past experiences and try not to think or plan of the future. And then gradually what happens is that you will gain a kind of experience of a mere cognition, mere clarity aspect of the mind. So that would be, initially it would be kind of very brief, like a flash. And then try to again continue with that meditation, and then you'll realize that the very nature of the mind becomes more and more evident to your experience. So, after realizing the actual nature of the mind, then you try to see, you try to taking this mind as object, then you try to do the analysis as to what is the color of that, what is the shape of that, where does it come from, where does it go, and so forth. And then on top of that, you try to employ the logics or the reasonings employed by the Madhyamaka school of thought as to examining whether or not it exists independently, whether or not it is one with its parts, whether or not it is distinct from its parts, or where is that which is pointable as object. So through such kind of analysis, we realize that even this clarity aspect of the mind as well lacks intrinsic existence. So then that kind of meditation arriving at the ultimate understanding of emptiness through, first of all, establishing the conventional nature of the mind is what we call as searching for the wisdom through meditation. So the first one is what we call what is referred to as searching to meditation through wisdom. and here, searching to wisdom through meditation. So these two follow actually the reverse or the opposite way. In the former case, you establish the emptiness first and then try to obtain the single-pointed meditation based on that very emptiness, emptiness as the object. And then whereas in the second case, you first establish the single-pointed meditation on the mind as the object, and then based on that you try to establish the emptiness nature of the mind. Next, the method of directing the attention to that object. Here there are three sections. The presentation of a flawless technique, a refutation of a flawed technique, and instructions on the duration of sessions. First, presentation of a flawless technique. The samadhi or the single-pointed meditation to be accomplished has two qualities. It is a potency of clarity in which the attention is extremely vivid. So here, the first one, His Holiness commentary. When you speak of the clarity, it is of two, the clarity of the object and the clarity of the mind. So it is not just sufficient to have the clarity of the object, it should also have the clarity of the mind, the freshness of the mind. So this is what is referred to here when you speak about the potency of clarity. And it is a non-conceptual stability that is sustained single-pointedly of an object. So, now what is that which hinders one from having the subjective clarity? So that is the laxity, the mental aspect of the laxity, which obscures someone to have the clarity, the subjective clarity of the mind. In this regard, some people make it three qualities by adding joy, and others make it four by adding limpidity. However, there are two kinds of limpidity. It may seem as if the limpidity of subjective awareness is even more limpid than that of the stainless crystal, a crystal vessel filled with uncontaminated water in which the light of the sun, free of clouds, is shining. And so, laxity of the mental aspect of the laxity, so that hinders one from achieving the subjective clarity, and the mental aspect of excitement hinders one from achieving the stability of the mind. And when the image of an object, such as a pillar, appears, there may be such a limpidity that we feel as if you could count even the number of its atoms. Both of those arise due to developing and sustaining the potency of clarity, in which even subtle laxity is eliminated. So, there is no need to speak of them separately from the outset. Pleasure and joy, and a sense of a feeling of well-being, do occur as a result of the samadhi, or single-pointed meditation, to be practiced within this context. But since they do not arise in conjunction with the single-pointed meditation comprised by the first proximate stabilization, they are not counted here. The laxity hinders the emergence of such potency of clarity, and excitation obstructs single-pointed non-conceptualization. Thus, those are the reasons why laxity and excitation are the chief obstacles to accomplishing pure samadhi or single-pointed meditation. Therefore, if you do not properly recognize gross and subtle laxity and excitation, and if you do not know an effective way of sustaining samadhi that counteracts those two, then insight is out of the question. It would be impossible for even quiescence to arise. So sensible people aspiring for samadhi should become well versed in that method. Laxity and excitation are incompatible with accomplishing quiescence, and the recognition of those adverse factors as well as the actual means for counteracting them will be discussed later on. So in order to have a proper single-pointed meditation, the kind of factors required, contributing factors required, the first and foremost is the mental factor of mindfulness, which holds single-pointedly the object, or which lodges the mind onto the object single-pointedly. And then the other factor required is to examine whether or not that my mind, that meditation is hindered by either laxity or excitement. You need to employ the mental factor of discrimination, introspection. So this mental factor of introspection is the second factor required on top of the mental factor of mindfulness. So this mental factor of introspection actually examines whether or not the mind is distracted or whether the mind is thinking, because under the influence of laxity. So these two mental factors, mindfulness and introspection, so these two are actually the main kind of the powers or the main remedies that one should be employing to build to bring about a favorable single-pointed meditation. It says, the single-pointed meditation is the attribute of the attention being sustained single-pointedly upon its object, and this requires constantly remaining on the object. In this regard, a method is needed to prevent the attention from wandering away from its primary object, and you must correctly recognize whether or not the attention is distracted. The first entails mindfulness, and the second, introspection. If upon the decline of mindfulness, the meditative object is forgotten, as soon as there is distraction, the meditative object is dispersed. So, mindfulness that does not forget the meditative object is primary. Here is a manner in which mindfulness directs the attention of an object. Here's the manner in which mindfulness directs the attention of an object. As explained previously, upon visualizing the basis of meditation, if it appears at least once, generate a powerful mode of apprehending it in which it is maintained with consciousness and with attention, a high pitch settled there without freshly analyzing anything. In the Abhidharma Samuchaya, mindfulness is said to have three attributes. What is mindfulness? The non-forgetfulness of the mind with respect to a familiar object, having the function of non-distraction. Concerning the attribute of the object, since mindfulness does not arise through its an object with which it is not already familiar, it is a familiar object. In this context, there appears the image of a basis of meditation that has already been ascertained. Concerning the mode of apprehension, the non-forgetfulness of the mind refers to the aspect of the attention not forgetting the object, and in this context, it is not forgetting the basis of meditation. The manner of non-forgetfulness does not refer simply to the ability to remember what was taught by your spiritual mentor, so that if asked by someone else and you put your mind to it, you can describe the basis of meditation. Rather, it is being constantly mindful of the object on which the attention has been fixed without the slightest distraction. Insofar as the attention strays, mindfulness is dispersed. Therefore, after placing the attention upon the basis of meditation, bring forth thought. It is fixed upon the object like this, and then without further conceptualization, sustain the continuity without severing the strength of that cognition. This is an invaluable essential point of the method for applying mindfulness. The attribute of its function is that it prevents the attention from straying away from the meditative object. So, then it is said that whatever kind of object of meditation you focus on, so you single-pointedly, by employing the two factors, mindfulness and introspection, you try to single-pointedly be focused on the object and in a non-conceptual way. So, actually, the practice of Dzogchen and the practice of Mahamudra, so there you see actually the mention of this practice whereby the emphasis on single-pointed meditation in a non-conceptual thoughtless state is emphasized, and then from these two systems, from the point of view of these two systems, so after reaching the state of the non-conceptual thought, so then it is being led to gain a more penetrative insight into the introduction of the mind. So next, a repetition of a flawed technique. So there is some people, because of seeing the fault in the excitation, so those practitioners think that, so this excitation is quite an error, quite a flaw of meditation, so I must get rid of that. And then they try to kind of reduce that excitation through calming down or pacifying my mind, or trying to have the mind in a low state of thinking, low state. So while so doing, then the person is very likely to fall to the fault of laxity, and then being unable to identify that he is actually having in possession the laxity. So in actuality, the meditation is of a flawed one, and yet because of this, I being unable to identify that, so that person tend to have the lesser power of intelligence. The power of intelligence seems to get reduced because of the tremendous remaining in that state of laxity, not knowing that. So, tremendous emphasis on reducing excitation, and then unknowingly accumulating laxity is actually one kind of flawed technique. So that has been refuted here. Next, what do you do after focusing on the object? And to know that, we should know the definition of these two, excitation and laxity. Excitation is described in the Abhidharma Samuchaya. What is excitation? It is an unpeaceful mental state included in the category of attachment, which follows after pleasant signs and which acts as an obstacle to quiescence. Here there are three aspects. Is the object is an attractive and pleasant one? Is the aspect is the attention being unpeaceful and scattered outwards? And since it is a derivative of attachment, it apprehends its object in a manner of craving. Its function is to obstruct the attention from being sustained on its object.